Hello and welcome to CJ Evolution, the podcast dedicated to helping criminal justice professionals like you. Now here's your host, fellow CJ Evolutionary, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello everybody, welcome back. Episode 180 of CJ Evolution. Pat Fitzgibbons here, host and creator of the show. Whatever you were doing, wherever you were at, thank you for spending a little bit of your valuable time with me. I sure do appreciate it. Special thanks to our sponsor, Frame of Mind Coaching. If you run into some roadblocks in your life, folks, some personal, professional roadblocks, some problems, head over to frameofmindcoaching.com. See what Kim Ades and her amazing team can do for you. And speaking of difficulties and running into roadblocks, we all know how stressful our jobs in criminal justice can be. And even if you're a listener and you're not in criminal justice, maybe you have a high-stress job. And unfortunately, we all know that that affects us personally. Most of the time, our stress, maybe not all of us, but a lot of us, we bring that stress home. That's when problems in our relationships, our marriages can suffer. My next guest is an amazing woman. Her name is Lori McDermott, and she is an expert in relationships. She does not believe in divorce. She says you should do everything in your power to not get divorced. We're going to talk about that. And again, amazing woman. After her husband left her and her kids for another woman. She's a stand-up comedian, but Lori said no way. And she fought to save her marriage, and she did. And she's going to tell you how if you're in that spot. So I give you the one, the only, Lori McDermott. Enjoy. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Very excited to have Lori McDermott on the show. She is the wife expert. She talks about stopping divorce, stopping the BS, and getting love. Welcome, Lori. How you doing?
Hi, Patrick. I'm awesome. How are you?
Oh, I am doing great. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I wanted to invite you on. I'm glad you graciously accepted, because I think what you're doing out there is so important. As you know, law enforcement has a high divorce rate, and I'm glad you're on the show. I want you to talk a little bit, if you feel comfortable, about your background and who you are, because listeners might not know who you are. So how did you become the wife expert? How did you become, you know, why are you such an advocate for stopping divorce and stopping the BS?
Lots of personal experience. Mm-hmm. It's funny because, you know, you see in marriage, you seem to go through therapists, mm-hmm. and these therapists are trained in books and various things that they learn in school. But until you actually go through something, I don't feel you're of value to the people who are experiencing things, because it's you just don't understand. Mm-hmm. It's just different unless you've gone through it. So what's your next question?
So I want to talk about a little bit about what you. I know your husband left you at one time. I know you're still together. Can you talk about that? What was the catalyst? I think that was probably the catalyst that got you on the course that you were on. But what got you started on the course you were on? And a little bit about yourself and your background.
So I have a marketing degree, mm-hmm. business degree. Very analytical, and had a great marriage, and everything was going along super fine, until one day I think my husband just woke up and decided he wasn't happy, and, you know, just kind of took that anger and played it out in our marriage. And things, you know, in a marriage, things aren't supposed to be perfect.
No,
it's, you both need, we all have crap in our backyard, and the only time you ever get to know the crap is when you get to know the person, and then you see the crap and then you go, and do I live with that crap, or do I move on and find someone else who's got different crap? Because we all have crap.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So, and we don't, you know, when you know the crap, now you know what you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. So, and a lot of people just don't feel like accepting the other person's crap. They want to change them, or they want to fix them. And we can't do that to each other. We have to accept each other for who we are, because the only people who can change themselves is themselves.
Yeah.
So that was my lesson that I learned. Because with him and his job change, and he just got angry and he started causing trouble in our marriage, just like making things go awry. And I was battling them. And finally, he started having an affair. And I said, you need to go. And he's like, why? And I said, because we can't have you living in our house with this other person. And he didn't understand that. But finally, he moved out. And the next 2 years, I spent just interviewing every old person who I could get my hands on, who had either gone through what I'm going through or who'd been divorced, and how they, what they did. What do I do? Mm-hmm. How do I solve this problem? I want my husband back. I don't want the girl. She needs to go away. Because I realize, I'm like, we had a good marriage before, but something is happening. Mm-hmm. Something happened. I don't know what it was. And I wasn't ready to give up. And even though he would look at me and tell me, I'm just not in love with you anymore. Wow. I would hear that, but I'm like, I didn't believe him. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't believe you. There's something going on.
So how did you, I mean, it's incredibly brave of you to take the stance you did and to fight for your marriage. But I would a lot of women, and you're the expert, Lori, I'm just asking, I mean, for a lot of women, I'm just assuming that a lot of women, if their husband said to them, look, I'm not in love with you anymore, they would be like, I mean, it would be devastating, but it would be like, all right, then let's get a divorce. So how did you convince your husband when he said, that's profound, you know, to say, and we talked to you before, I talked to you before about my personal experience. I'm of a divorce, you know, man. And I told you my ex-wife and I fell out of love. So how did you convince your husband to stay together? Because I know you're together now again. But when somebody falls out of love, that's pretty profound. How did you get him to fall back in love with you?
I you don't really get someone to do that. You just kind of stay your course. It's a long process. Yeah. It really is. And it was a lot of, you know, there'd be days I'd want to quit. And then I would always fall back on. I mean, honestly, it's my vows. I fell back on my vows. Like I promised, I promised him certain things. And
that's amazing.
Someone once said to me, they're like, because we as humans, especially in a marriage, we're like, well, he's not doing this for me. He's not giving me this. I'm not getting this. And we never look at the fact that, well, what am I giving to him?
Yeah.
What am I doing for him? So during his turmoil, I started living my life that way. So he wasn't living here, but when I would see him, I would treat him the way I treated him when we started dating. Mm-hmm. And I'd be happy to see him, which I think he would thought was really weird. And, you know, he's like, I've caused all this turmoil in her life and she's happy to see me. Now I wouldn't be, you know, hey, come out to dinner with us. I'd be like very just happy living my life. And I think over time, he started to miss me and started to remember who I was. Mm-hmm. Because once you get married, it's not about the fun you used to have when you were dating. Now it's about the bills and the kids and you fix the dishwasher and all the stupid stuff that none of us really want to do. So it takes away from what the marriage started out to be when you guys were friends and buddies and you hung out and you did things together. We all forget to do that. So we started doing things like that. And I just think over time, it's like, you know, everything that our marriage kind of evolved around was our kids and our fun and our friends. And he just saw he was missing out. This other person didn't have all those things.
Yeah. So what would you tell the person out there who's listening? I mean, I guess my question to you, Lori, and again, you're the expert. Would you stay together just for kids? Would you stay together? Because I know a couple of friends of mine that are in this situation where they're, and my advice to them, because I've been through a divorce and I'm not proud of that, but I've been through a divorce and, you know, I guess my advice to them is don't stay together for the kids, because I think that, my opinion, and you tell me if I'm wrong, I think that harms kids more than it helps kids.
I agree. I never feel people should stay together for their kids. Every situation is completely different, but if there's still some spark of love in you, just like a spark, and, you know, as we talked about earlier, I know women who just don't enjoy sex with their husband and they are miserable and they never really liked having sex with their husband, but they would like to have sex with these other people. That kind of attraction, once that goes away, I don't think you can get it back.
I agree. That's a good point.
That chemistry, if you lose your chemistry, I think the relationship is done. But for most people, especially men will sleep with anything. just kidding. But you know what I mean? I think if a woman loses her chemistry, it's really difficult for her to get that back. But men just don't. So, but I do believe that's a really big part of a marriage.
I do too.
People not be able to.
You can't get
that back.
Yeah, we talked about it before we went on air, and I agree with you. I think that is intimacy is a very big part of a marriage, and you need to have that. But like you said, it needs to be it needs to be something that is gratifying to both, you know, both the husband and the wife. You know, they need to be enjoying it.
Yeah, but as you said about the kids, you can't stay together for the kids because in my experience and what I've learned is a husband and a wife are the people that hold the cocoon together. Mm-hmm. And when they split up, the cocoon breaks.
Yeah.
And if you stay together just to hold the cocoon, your strength for doing that won't hold the cocoon. It's going to fall apart anyway.
Mm-hmm. But why do you have to be
committed to each other. You have to be committed to each other. Like a lot of parents I know put their kids first and they're, you know, they will say, no, kids are number one. And it's not, it should not be, it can't be that way.
Yeah.
The parents, mom and dad, have to take care of each other and show the kids what love looks like. Mm-hmm. And they have to be the ones who put each other first. So their kids grow up going, oh, that's what I'm going to do when I get married. Because
exactly.
We are their teachers. They learn from us.
Because I think, and I agree with you 100%. Because I think the kids, they're very intuitive. They are very observant. Kids are very smart. And they can tell what one another. I know my kids could tell, you know, just simple things like, you know, I just noticed that, you know, and I heard this from my son and my daughter, you know, why aren't you and mom sitting together? Or, you know, talking about my ex-wife, why aren't you spending time together? Why aren't you, like, we're on the couch or we're watching a show or something. Why aren't you guys sitting together holding hands or whatever? My friend's parents do that. So, I mean, it's just little things like that that I think kids are very observant. They know what is going on. And I don't think I think some people out there don't give kids enough credit or give their children enough credit that they observe this. They observe what's going on with their mom and dad. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. They watch us for a
They living. Watch, you know. And so let me ask you a question. I mean, you know, you went through this. I mean, for the person out there, what do you, Lori, what do you do when you find out your spouse is cheating? I mean, what do you do?
Oh, you throw a few things. Just kidding. You have to breathe. Mm-hmm. And what I found terrifying at that point, I probably spent like 3 months in bed. Mm-hmm. And I know women who, when you first have a baby, all the other women rush to your house and say, here's a meal. Relax. We have food mm-hmm. for you. I know how hard it is. The hardest thing I have ever gone through was the time after I found out my husband was cheating on me mm-hmm. because he left and he went with another woman. And I had 3 kids that I had to take care of and feed mm-hmm. and get to sports and do things like that. And I couldn't function because the rug was pulled out. It was the worst thing. They equate it to having a child die.
But didn't
it's that painful.
But wasn't there signs? Didn't you see signs of this? Or was it just totally out of the blue?
You know, it's interesting because the girl didn't live in town. She was mm-hmm. far away. So it was more like a phone affair and they would see each other at work events.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I did not. I had a feeling probably 3 days earlier when he went out of town. I just thought mm-hmm. things were very odd and I just had an instinct.
Did you ask him about it?
Well, I checked his phone. I followed him on his phone and I found mm-hmm. out that he was not somewhere he was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And so when he came back, I asked questions and he totally told me what was going on. Didn't hide a thing. But, you know, it took a couple months for him to mm-hmm. come clean with me. So it hadn't been going on that long, but it was long enough that he was fully involved. Mm-hmm. And he was ready to abandon everything for it. So, yeah, it was very, very difficult. So if anyone knows anyone going through this, the best thing you can do to offer support is to bring them food. Ask them if their, you know, children need a ride or, mm-hmm. you know, can I help you in any way? Because they need help and they won't ask because they don't even know what they need help on. So lost.
Now, I want to know what did you do? Because I think a lot of people would have given up. You obviously wanted to save the marriage, which is good. But okay, you find out, and you find this is going. First of all, did you confront the other woman? Did you said you confronted your husband? He admitted to it, which is good. He didn't try to lie about it. What did you confront the other woman, or did you have the ability to I don't know if you had her contact information. And did you reach out to her?
I actually phoned her and mm-hmm. I had a conversation with her, and I just. You know, she it was like she was claiming the man I'd known for 26 years.
She'd only known
him for a year.
She
claimed him.
What do you mean by claiming? I'm saying that she, you know, he loves me, not you, kind of stuff.
Yeah,
or...
yeah, basically, like, you know, your relationship's over. He's moved on. He's in love with me. You're done.
How did you get beyond that?
because I just thought she's stupid. And she's 10 years younger than me, and she's never been married, and she doesn't have children. She had no idea what she was getting herself involved in. And I can say this for any human being that's going to play around with a man or a woman who's married, who has kids, and you're getting a story that, oh, you know, I'm unhappy. It's like, you know what? Wait until they're completely out of that situation, because you're just messing in things that you don't want to get involved in. Because it's just wrong.
Mm-hmm. So how did you, I mean, I guess my question, so you got past that, you saved the marriage, you know, do you ever, you know, your husband, I don't know what he does. I mean, he sounds like he's a businessman. He travels. Do you ever wonder if this is going to happen again?
You know, I'm not a person that thinks that everyone's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, but I do know all the pain that he's gone through, mm-hmm. having to face the church community, because everyone knew about it.
Yeah.
You know, face his friends, face his family, mm-hmm. face his he lost his job. You know, all these things that he'd have to. I mean, the pain that he went through, knowing he did something like that and broke our marriage vow, mm-hmm. is, I believe, enough for him not to do that again.
Yeah.
Now, I could That's be wrong. Point. But at the same point, it's like, it's not a, when somebody cheats, it's not about the person they're cheating on. It's about their own person. It's mm-hmm. about what's going on inside of them, the confidence, their self assuredness of them, their own self and their self-acceptance. And if someone does that, it's their weakness, not whoever they're married to.
So that would explain why some people cheat. You know, and other people don't, maybe because some people are stronger and then other people who are more, you know, weaker, you know, I mean, what do you think? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely think that. And I also believe, you know, oh, this is going to be okay. Oh, I'm out of the country. That doesn't involve it. You can come up with every excuse in the book, but the person who knows what's going on is you, and you have to live with that. And for me, I don't want to have to live with any kind of guilt. I don't want to have to live with, oh my gosh, I did this horrible thing, because that just wears on you.
Yeah.
And over time, it eats you if you're a good person. And I would rather not make the choice of making those kind of decisions. Mm-hmm. No, like put it this way. The other good thing I like to say about for people is, would you do that if your children knew that you were going to do that? Mm-hmm. Would your children think this was okay if you have kids? And if the answer to that is no, then you really have to be the better person and say, why would I do that? Sure, having an affair is a blast. How fun is that?
Mm-hmm.
Cheating on someone's a blast. It's exciting. It's a different person. But at the end of the day, who's going to feel bad about it over time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless you don't have any worry about that, then, you know, that kind of qualifies you as a different person.
Yeah.
But I'm not judging anybody. It's just what you can live with and what you can't live with. And I for one, can't live with that kind of problem over my head.
Yeah.
Guilt. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. And we talked before we went live about divorce, and I'm a divorced man, and we talked about that. You kind of had me on the hot seat for a little bit when we were talking, and I appreciate that, because that makes me think and makes me question things, and that's good. But you're really against divorce. Why are you so against divorce?
I'm against divorce when it comes to someone being beaten or, you know, excessive cheating,
mm-hmm.
Or, you know, any kind of dependence like alcohol or drugs,
because
mm-hmm. then you're not really dealing with the person, you're dealing with the drugs or the alcohol, the dependency, because, like, you know, therapy, if, you know, I have clients or people that I'm coaching that their husband or wife is dependent on drugs, you cannot coach a couple when someone is in that state of mind. You just can't, because mm-hmm. that the number one thing to them is their drugs or their alcohol. It's not the marriage, and you're not going to get through to either one of them unless that stops.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that that's okay to divorce someone who's mm-hmm. doing that,
yeah.
because you're not married to them, you're married to the drugs. But everything else, I do believe there's always a way. It takes time and it takes a lot of work. But I believe if you were in love before, you, like, you know, think about your old girlfriend. Or maybe someone you loved in the past. There's always that little spark of something towards them. You know, but to find it again, you'd have to spend time with them. You'd have to really get to know them. Mm-hmm. And I do believe over time, when you live with someone and you have all the bull crap of being in a house with someone and sharing the bills and sharing the responsibilities of the lawn and the money and the all those things get in the way of a really good friendship that started a long time ago.
Interesting.
And yeah. So one of my favorite things to do to tell people, you have to have a date night once a week where you don't talk about your kids or bills or anything else. You go out and you have fun. You go play pool. You don't want to go to a movie. You just have to go do something where you have to interact with each other. Mm-hmm. And each week, the guy should pick the place or the girl should pick the place.
And put the phones down.
You don't need money.
Put the phones down.
Yeah, put the phones down. Just get out of your space. And then the other thing I believe every couple should do is take a trip at least twice a year, but at least if they can pull it off every quarter.
Yeah.
Because I used to be a travel writer, and I would go to the airport and I would meet couple after couple that were traveling somewhere and they were married 30, 40, 50 years. And when you get out of your space and you go to a different location, even if it's like the motel a half an hour away, you suddenly it's just the two of you in a room with a bed and a strange location with restaurants mm-hmm. you've never seen before. And you look at each other and you're like, oh, I remember you.
Yeah.
That's who you are.
That's awesome.
I used to like you.
Yeah.
But we have to make ourselves do those things. Those are the chores of the marriage, so that you get out of your space. You really make an effort. You have to make an effort mm-hmm. to stay connected.
I agree. I mean, if my listeners are struggling in their marriage, and I'm sure a lot of them are, we talked about, you know, before we started, you know, law enforcement has in criminal justice, people have a pretty high divorce rate. What would you tell them? You know, what advice would you give them to make things better?
What I mentioned in the beginning of this call, mm-hmm. when you think about, it's not about you. When you're married to someone, you have to think about them, whoever you're married to, a partnership, because otherwise don't be married. Mm-hmm. But if you're married to someone, instead of saying, what about me? What about me? I'm not getting what I want. I'm not getting what I want. Give. Be of service. Mm-hmm. Give to the other person. If that other person really enjoys time with you, you know, that book called The Languages of Love, mm-hmm. you know, finding out what each person likes and knowing what makes them feel loved. Like if your spouse loves getting gifts, that's a very weird one. I'm not a big fan of that one. But some people like getting gifts, even like a card or something. Then make sure you do something where you give your wife a card, you know, once a month with a little letter in there, because she will feel loved. And when someone feels loved, they will give it back. Mm-hmm. But what happens is when people don't get love, they don't give it. And then they pull in.
Or they seek it elsewhere.
Or they seek it elsewhere.
Yeah.
Because they're like, well, I'm not getting love here. And mm-hmm. that's what everyone says. I'm not getting love, so I'm going to go find love here. Instead of making a deposit into the love bank for their spouse. Mm-hmm. Then what happens when you do something nice for your spouse? You feel good.
Oh, you feel great.
So you're doing something nice for someone. And, you know, a lot of people are like, well, I didn't get anything back. Maybe not today, but tomorrow. I mean, it's, you know, that thing where they say, you know, everyone needs to give 50% to a marriage. I disagree with that. Everyone mm-hmm. should give 100. Yeah. So when someone is not being able to give 100, being they're, you know, in law enforcement and they're working overtime and they're really tired and they need someone to fix them coffee or need someone to look after them for a little while, that's when your 100% is going to pull you through, because it's going to turn around and you're going to mm-hmm. need it back.
That's a good point. What are some of the biggest 100. Lessons that you've learned through what you've gone through?
That when someone says, I'm not happy, it's not about you. It's about them. Mm-hmm. When someone says, I'm in this marriage and I'm not happy. Well, that I'm happy. What are you doing to make yourself happy in the marriage? Mm-hmm. It's all your perception.
Yeah.
If you're not happy, because we never do anything, you're always so mean to me. Well, what are you doing about that? How are you making it better? Everyone waits for someone else to do something. So that's my big advice.
That's a really good point, you know, Lori, and something I want to talk a little bit more about is we are so used to, and I'm guilty of this too, you know, okay, it's your fault. What are you going to do? Instead of looking inside, saying, I need to change too, and I need to do this. But we're so quick, not everybody, but some people, you know, are so quick to look outside and say, well, the other person's at fault, and I'm not doing anything wrong. And like you said, marriage is quid pro quo. I mean, it is, you know, you have to put yourself in the other person's shoes, or it's not going to work. And it's give and take, right? I mean, it's give and take.
Yeah, it's hard.
And it's very difficult. Nobody ever said marriage was easy, but it can be successful. And like I said, we were talking about before. I'm a divorce guy, and in retrospect, I could have done things different. We both could have. But divorce happened, and you know, and it is what it is. But it was a learning experience for me personally, because now I know, Lori, what not to do with my second marriage that I did with my first marriage.
Yeah.
And it's a learning experience, and I learned so much. And like I said, the majority, my 20 years I was married the first time, you know, I mean, you know, most of the years were a great marriage. And again, it was a breakdown, not just because of me, but both of us. I'm not blaming my ex-wife for everything. And, you know, and like I told you before we went on the air, I mean, we have a good relationship now. It's kind of weird. It's so funny. We talk more now than I think we did before, you know, in the latter years of our marriage. But now I want to talk a little bit about some people that are listening don't know that you're an award-winning writer and you're author of two books. What are the two books?
CEO of the House 1 and 2.
The CEO of the House 1 and 2. Now, can you explain a little bit?
Those are books I would sell. I did stand-up, and those were books I would sell after my show.
Yeah.
But what happened is when this whole crisis happened, I probably had about maybe 80 shows coming up in the next couple of years. I gave them all away. Hmm. I could not be funny on stage at that moment in time. I just couldn't, because my life was all about my family and everything that happened. And it was a lie. And as a comedian, everything I've written is true. It's all funny, but it's very true. And I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So I'm on hiatus. So those books are not for sale right now.
Okay.
At some point they will be again, but I'm trying to live a different truth. And I'm just now through the mess that I'd gone through the past 5 years, but I feel like I've gone through it for a reason. And you know, comedy is tragedy plus time.
Yeah.
So I still haven't given enough time yet to figure out the funny of it all, but maybe one day I will. And there will be a stand-up show about it, or possibly a sitcom.
That's awesome. So now,
we'll see what happens.
And if people want to reach out to you, how can they find you, Lori?
The Life Expert. I have two websites. I have The Life Expert and The Wife Expert.
Now, if there's any parting words of wisdom before we wrap up?
The only thing I can say is it is two people that make up a marriage, but all it takes is one person to change the temperature of it. One person that stands up and says, I don't like where this is going. And it's also about being the person that apologizes first. I actually teach a program called Love for Life to inner city kids. And what I like to share with them is an apology doesn't cost you anything. No ego, no pride, and it's free. And when you apologize for something, if someone's saying, you did this and you did this, instead of your ego coming up and saying, I didn't, and you defend yourself, instead you say, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry I hurt you. Yeah. And then what happens is, the argument's over because they can't get mad anymore
because
you've admitted fault and it's done.
Yeah. It's like the bomb already went off, but you're not giving him other ammunition. So
no, it's gosh, I'm really sorry. And then there's room to heal and understanding and compassion and all those feelings that we all love to share with another human.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, Lori McDermott, thank you so much.
Thank you, Patrick, for coming
on the show and sharing your advice, very, very good advice. And I hope people out there that are, you know, going through these difficult times and maybe in their marriage, they heed your advice, because it is really, really good advice. So I know you're very busy. Thank you for coming on the show, Lori. I sure do appreciate
it.
And we will have your information linked up on the show notes afterwards. And we wish you much success in the future. And congratulations on on saving your marriage, and much success to you in the future.
Yes, and to everyone who's listening, any service people, we all appreciate your service. So thank you.
Thank you, Lori. Have a good night.
All right, Patrick, thank you.
Thanks for listening to CJ Evolution. Be sure to head over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast, and reach out to Patrick on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Anchor, or Snapchat. We'll see you next time on CJ Evolution.